I think the intent of the motion is very good. I like it because it takes the stress off the chairperson. We don't have a chairperson who there is a councillor mediator. We have them there as a chairperson. And in the event that all the time I've been at this table, there have been two of these incidents, both of which involved the chairperson. And they were stressful and emotional and difficult for everybody, not just the chairperson. So I'm thinking that in the second paragraph, the same amendment is required. The chairperson seems to be the person most vulnerable to this sort of activity. Therefore, I think we need to say that the deputy chairperson will attempt, etc. I'm not going to move another amendment, but I think if everybody's nodding, it just makes sense.
Yeah. So, are you comfortable with the intent being flowing through to that second paragraph, and you're not wanting to change that?
Just make the same change to that paragraph as you've got written down.
You are suggesting that?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
Yep. We shouldn't expect the deputy chairperson to undertake the mediation.
Yep. Yep. All right. The mover and seconder. Well, actually, do we need a motion to actually change the draft, or we just agree to change the draft and the recommendation is that the attached regional council code of conduct with the noted amendments be adopted and the common seal affixed?
Yes.
That's actually the motion.
Yes. I just want to know where the place of workshops is. Because I thought, have I breached inadvertently the council code of conduct already? So I went and had a look last week, and I don't know what the status of workshops is, and I've looked through all the council stuff here, and it relates to the issue of confidentiality. You see, there's a part in the code of conduct that relates to confidentiality that clearly specifies largely, well, almost entirely, stuff of a personal or a commercially confidential basis, for example, tenders or something like that. But it doesn't actually say what is the status of workshops, and I now know that I haven't, but I think that for want of clarification, we need to clarify it now.
Workshops
are
covered in standing orders.
Right.
Well, I think it should be. I think there's more likely to be information of a confidential and commercial nature distributed to councillors at a workshop than there is at a council or committee meeting.
Yes.
Because by the time it gets to a council or committee meeting, it's about to be recommended for adoption.
Yep.
So I think the council should consider the matter of confidentiality of that material. And it should be confidential. But the whole idea of a workshop is to be able to have a confidential discussion between the councillors with the assistance of management.
Because there's nothing in standing orders either.
Correct.
It just says that it's there.
All right. So, some advice, please. Is that needing addressed in the code of conduct?
Well, it's probably in the standing orders as to what is the status of a workshop.
No, it's not. I've checked.
No, we need to put that in there.
Yeah. Standing orders. There is appendix 8 covers workshops, but it doesn't state anything other than how they operate. It says the chairperson or workshop organisers will decide how the workshop briefing or working party should be conducted.
Right.
That's probably as detailed as it,
right,
as it gets.
That's right.
So that's something we probably should have a look at and as part of standing orders rather than code of conduct. All right, so let's note that, please.
As an action.
As an action.
Yeah.
Follow up. And let's be clear here on the changes that are being proposed to the draft code of conduct. So 12.2 will read, and then complaint to the chairperson, who will attempt to undertake mediation to resolve. And then the next paragraph down is after the deputy chairperson, as Councillor Leakes pointed out, will attempt the mediation, and if both chairperson and deputy chairperson, da da da. Does that meet both Councillor Laws and Councillor Deakers? Yep. Comfort with that? Councillor Brown?
Right, just being, I think this makes this motion more wishy-washy. The word attempt, I just don't have it the way it is. It's more direct. It gives a clear directive to the chairman or the deputy chairman. I think it's better the way it is. I think this just makes it wishy-washy, and it's sort of bureaucratic nonsense.
Any other views? So those changes noted. I now need, Councillor Laws, you had an earlier amendment. If you want to withdraw that, the recommendation is that the attached Regional Council Code of Conduct with amendments be adopted in common seal of facts.
Yes.
You're happy to move that? Yeah. Is there a seconder?
Well, I'd say as amended.
Sorry. As amended. Yes. Or as amended, yeah. All right. Yep. You got that, Lauren? Conduct. Or as amended be adopted. I'll just. So that, were you seconding that, Councillor Neil? Councillor Noon? Right, motion's up for discussion. Point of Scott.
Point of clarification, Mr. Chair. For this to be passed, we will require a 75% vote, yes?
Yes. Standing orders and code of conduct.
So need 75%. I assume then we require a division or something. Maybe, not. See how it goes.
Are you calling for one?
Can you be clearer? Are you calling for a division?
Yeah, I'll call for a division. Yeah,
fine, I think that's good. That's fine. We've got clarity on that. Any other discussion? We'll be keen to hear from any councillors who have been part of the conversation so far. We're all clear on what the changes are that are being proposed. Councillor Kempen?
Look, I'm with Councillor Brown on there being more clarity, and I just had a look at the New Zealand Law Society's arguments for and against compulsory mediation, and it seems to me that if someone doesn't want to do it, then you've wasted a whole lot of time and money anyway. Now, the business about attempting is leaning up against a doorpost with a beer sailor going, and why do you want to do this? Right. Have that chat, which is entirely informal, and I don't think that is for writing in here, and I think that the person does have the choice. The attempt, in my view, is not under the code of conduct. The attempt is just saying, hey mate, does this make sense? And therefore I'd go for a new code. And voluntary, essentially, either by
the current wording.
Hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Any other discussion?
So this motion is to amend the current wording.
This is to approve it as
amended.
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 Yes.
Not this amended, as
the amendment that we've just
spoken
about.
The amendments that we've discussed and the committee secretary has recorded. Yep. So that's why the motion's saying as amended. Any further discussion?
If you allow me to speak again.
Yes.
I would argue that Councillor Kempton's argument about the Law Society would be that the Law Society have got a conflict of interest. They wouldn't want mediation. That's not what they said on their website.
All right. They might have some advice, but now we'll keep that for lunch. All right, a division has been called for. Lauren.
Councillor Bell.
In favour.
Councillor Brown.
Against the change.
In favour.
In favour.
Against.
Councillor Laws.
In favour.
Councillor Neil.
Against.
Councillor
Noon.
Aye.
Councillor
Lockton.
In favour.
Scott.
Aye.
Councillor
Woodhead. 4.
75%.
Four ways of saying it.
Declare the motion passed. All right.
Hang on, 8 and 12.
He's got his calculator out.
Yeah. Oh dear, we got a problem.
75%.
72%.
Is that 8 out of how many?
8 out of 12.
8 out of 11.
Out of 11.
8 out of 11.
Sorry. Sorry. Mr. Chairman, I'm struggling to see where it says that code of conduct, standing orders, yes. Code of conduct needs to be amended by 75%.
No, I read it last night.
Where did you read that?
Hang on, hold up, Mr. Donnelly.
When we did this originally, if I referred back to that that original paper, I believe that both standing orders and code of conduct did. But you're saying that it's only standing orders.
All that's required under the Local Government Act is that an organisation adopts a code of conduct that's mandatory.
Mr. Chair.
Councillor Scott.
Page 39.
Page 39 of our agendas.
Yeah. Point number 14, review. Once adopted, the code of conduct continues in force until amended by the council. The code can be amended at any time, but cannot be revoked unless the council replaces it with another code. Once adopted, amendments to the code require a resolution supported by 75% of the members of the council present at a council meeting where the amendment is considered.
Yeah, and I'm challenging that. Because I'm saying, where's the statutory authority for that? That's
because this is what we've always, you know, we're debating something else. We've assumed that this is correct.
No, that's fair enough. It's fair enough that you assume that. But what I'm saying is, there's no authority for that. The standing orders only relates to itself, not to the code of conduct.
But this is the code of conduct we're discussing here, not
the standing
orders.
Code of conduct is what item 14 is referring to.
What I'm saying is, where does the authority for that statement come from?
Council policy.
Problem as well. Have we actually adopted the code of conduct? We haven't. We've been waiting to.
That's what we're adopting.
Yeah, that's exactly the point
adopted,
that I'm making.
And you need 75%, but it hasn't been adopted.
That's exactly
how we get to the 75%.
Well, I'll ask Mr. McDonnelly for clarification on that. We essentially run on the existing code of conduct until we approve a new one, Mr. McDonnelly?
Yeah, that's correct. But I haven't got a copy of the existing one here, so I'd have to check whether that was in the existing one.
All right, so we'll adjourn this matter on the agenda, and we'll seek clarification on whether the review clause was in the previous code of conduct, which we're still operating under. And we will advise you before the conclusion of this meeting. Thank
I've
you.
Got a copy of the old one.
Right,
I'll
yep.
It's the agenda item.
All right.
Need two ideas.
Mr.
Chairman, I just want to clarify that, though, please. My understanding, and can I just, if you're going to seek that, is that that's slightly irrelevant. Under the Local Government Act, and that's what I think needs to be looked at, a territorial or a regional council is required to adopt a code of conduct at the first instance after the new triennial, after the new council is sworn in. It's not required to replace the old one, it's required to adopt one. Now, that's my understanding of the Act. Somebody will, I'm sure, will have a look at it, but I'd like to flag that.
Right, okay. But we have set our own policy that sits underneath that too, of course.
Well, your own policy won't supersede the law.
Yeah, but if the law says we adopt one and we've got one in place, then let's ask Mr. Donnelly.
Well, it's the status of the old one into the new triennial.
I'm saying it. The next is immediate. As soon as your last council expires, the code of conduct goes.
All right.
My understanding was that the old one stayed in place until it was amended. So it didn't.
Until the new one is adopted.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. But a new one being adopted.
Yeah, that's right. So the old one. So assuming that if this hasn't been adopted, then the old one's still in place.
That's right.
Yep.
So again, it's a debate between standing orders and code of conduct. So we're actually debating standing orders condition around how many votes we need to change a code of conduct.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about at the moment. So standing orders. It's the effect of the standing orders.
What we know is that under our code of conduct, unless we wish to change it, We need a 75% vote to make a change.
Correct.
Right, but to put it in place, the suggestion is that you might only need 50, which sounds like a bit of an ass to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, who knows?
We'll get that checked, and even if we have to adjourn this meeting and come back to it partway through workshop later, I want to get this tidied up today. So, Mr. Bodeker, can you and Mr. Donald follow that up, please? So we'll leave that item lying on the table as it is and move on to item four. All right, item four, triennial agreement. Mr. Bodeker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. McCabe is in the room as the coordinator of this document. So as it's stated in the preamble to the document itself, Section 15 of Local Government Act requires each region to enter the triennial agreement, triennial agreement between the Regional Council and the territorial authorities. So the document as presented to you, seeking your adoption, has been discussed at the Merrill Forum, so it has been amended significantly because the Local Government Act meant that our previous one was not up to the required standard, so it is different to the previous document. It considers what is required of the Triennial Agreement and the Merrill Forum, and Appendix A lists the proposed activities for this triennium. Chairman, I'm seeking adoption by this council, which will enable you to sign it on behalf of Otago Regional Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to open up discussion, I'm happy to move the recommendation on page 49 that the attached local authorities, Regional Council, Otago Regional Triennial Agreement 1619 be adopted. Is there a seconder? Councillor Scott, second. All right, open it up for discussion. Councillor Deacon.
I found the the draft agreement difficult to understand. Very cloudy in this language. And it was very hard to get through those clouds and find out what actions the mayors and chair had actually decided upon. So I suggest that at least it has an executive summary at the top of the document saying, here's what we agreed to, here's what we're going to do in the next 3 years.
So that is the purpose of Schedule A.
Why isn't it at the very top of the document?
Is there a method that the statutorily that the document's laid out, Mr. Bodeker? I can't answer that.
I'm not sure. I mean, we followed our legal advice to how we needed what needed to be included and how it needed to be written. So that's, I made the comment, that's why it looks different to the previous one, which you may have argued, Councillor Deacon, was easier to understand.
I may have. But this one does look as though it was written by a slightly dyspeptic lawyer. Its language is so careful and roundabout and almost as though it was intending to be unclear. And that surely isn't. I mean, we as a council tend to have more and more dependence on the forum and its members to achieve stuff. And if we don't know what we're setting out to achieve, or it's not especially clear and it's not especially measurable, it's not worth having a document like that. It either needs to be translated into plain language, or to have an executive summary written in plain language at the top of it.
Mr. McCabe, are you able to assist there?
Yeah, I'm not aware of a standard. Document does reflect that training agreement as was previously signed in previous training, but with additions relating to what the Local Government Act requires of regional conflict, which is around regional councils having to be clearer with our local authority counterparts around its new activities. but I'm not aware of any standard for that. So, but in terms of length, I mean, much of the document relates to, which is what the Act was requiring, how local authorities are going to interact with each other, and issues around matters that are a focus for the triennium can be the added cream, if you like, for identifying what the local authority is going to concentrate on. But fundamentally, it's about how we're going to collaborate with each other as local authorities, which is what principally what much of the body of the document is trying to describe.
Councillor Kempton?
I really just want to take the comments of Councillor Beaker just a little bit further. I always look at these sorts of things and the likes of the zone situation with a high level of scepticism. Mm. And the reason is because they are not outcomes based or milestone based. I look at Schedule A and it says, we're going to have a little bit of chew on some of these things. And the last two triennia that I've been involved in, I haven't actually seen a lot that's resulted from that. That is, as we've heard, there is an element of code of conduct about how we will all play together in this, right? If that's what it is, then put the heading on it. This is how we will play together as local government in this region. But then we get Schedule A, and I actually really expect some stuff to happen in all these things. Now, I know that if we're talking about three waters, and it's a complex issue, I know that we can't say, well, by the end of this training, we're going to have a new water supply over here or something. I know it doesn't work like that. But on the other hand, we can at least say we're going to get to some milestone in our discussions, and it'll take us to this. Our intention is it should take us to this point. And you know, when you're looking at things like Otago-wide economic development strategies, I mean, a year ago we said, "Wow, we're going to get stuck in and start working on this." And maybe we've done a little, but that's just an open-ended opportunity for a talk fest, in my view. Waste management, for instance, I know that Dunedin City are currently progressing new plans for solid waste management. Now, I don't know whether that's even been talked about at the Mayoral Forum. And when you think about the larger, more complex priorities, you've got land transport sitting in there, which I would have thought was kind of looking after itself in most respects, quietly working its way along. Just as we have seen, and I would have to say that if this has come out of Mayoral Forum, then it's a really important and positive development, the regional civil defence. I don't see that the land transport is necessarily one of the larger, more complex priorities. I see some of the other things as more complex. But I'd very much like to see some milestones in those discussions. And if we don't, then it isn't actually about what we're going to do at all. It's simply about how we're going to behave. So I was a little bit sceptical about those things.
Yep. So if I respond, Mr. Buddicker will comment too, but that's essentially what the triennial agreement is. It's about we're going to play nicely in the sand. and there's some new activities proposed by a regional council that's all stipulated and laid out in the local government act. So, Mr. Bodie.
Some of it's been covered a little bit by Councillor Kempton, but if it hadn't been for the Mayoral Forum requiring the chief executives to meet, the better relationship that we've got between this organisation, which had a poor relationship with the TAs historically, improving it to the good state it's in, which has resulted in combination of rural fire, combination of civil defence, some of the work that is being done around economic development, that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't had a Mayoral Forum. Now, that doesn't mean to say that the document is not attesting to that. The construct of a Mayoral Forum is what gets us together. And then I would say that the same is happening at the political end. The development that I've seen in the short time I've been here has been very significant. It may seem on the outside to be perhaps less than concise, But certainly the proof to me is in the outcomes that we've had across regions. The work that we've done around hazards, the work that we've done around contaminated sites. You know, when I got here, territorial authorities were saying they wanted their own of those. And now there's an acceptance that we will be a leader in those and they will have access to them. So I think there's been significant improvement from where I'm sitting because of the Merrill Forum and because of its requirement to meet regularly and the chief executives to meet prior to those meetings.
Thank you. Councillor Laws?
I mean, the reality is that most regions have been pushed into these agreements kicking and screaming as a result of central government making sure that you had to do it through the Local Government Act of 2002. So, I mean, there's a healthy scepticism that I think is expressed around this table as well from most district councils in New Zealand. But I'm happy to go with the window dressing, and if it provides a forum in which communication happens, then talking is always a good thing. My concern is Schedule A, actually, Stephen. If that's all we're going to do over the next 3 years in terms of regional cooperation, then I'm not sure it's all that ambitious. Do we have the opportunity now? I guess because there are six signatories to this, I guess it's a bit odd to try and amend it now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I'll come to that in a minute. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
But I wonder if we could, because we haven't had the opportunity around this council, as a new council, I haven't had the opportunity, I don't think anybody else has, of actually discussing what we'd like to happen from a regional level in cooperation with our neighbouring territorial authorities. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. So I can clarify, Schedule A is a schedule. It can be added to. There's often things drop off it and other things added on the way through the triennium as issues turn up. So you're not locked into, that's not the only thing, but here are some priorities. The Section 17A reviews were and have been a big priority because it's actually driving through some understandings, investigations of how else can we deliver these services. And so that's why they popped up to the top, but it's certainly not exclusive, Mr. Bodica.
No. And each of the territorials and the regional council has its own work plan that we do. So, we are autonomous in a lot of respects.
No, what I'm saying is that I'd like us to have the discussion earlier rather than later about what we see as the regional priorities in concert with our territorial authorities.
Yep.
And given the wake of Cadbury's demise and other issues affecting Dunedin, which, except are serious and have regional implications, then looking at two, are we going to upgrade that? What are we going to do? When are we having that discussion? Is there anything that can be done? I'd just like to get some clarity on when we get the chance to address that.
Yeah, so I would see that conversation occurring in our strategic planning session for OIC, which would is intended to inform our long-term plan. So and that's,
is that next year though?
The long-term planners,
yeah.
And the strategic planning is hopefully this autumn. Still working on that, work in progress. But as I say, there's nothing to stop if anything that rises up either through a district or the regional council or the city council to turn up on Schedule A, come to the agenda of the mayoral forum, say here's an issue we need to get our teeth into, or we need to make some changes to our what is occurring as a result of Cadbury's perhaps, or a natural disaster, or whatever, a number of issues. So, just want to be clear. They're essentially Schedule A, current work programs with a few things looking forward. Many of them are currently underway, Mr. Bodica, or are on the list to be addressed in a short time frame. Mr. McCabe.
Yeah, just to clarify, Clause 27, scope and issues. Specifically indicates that while these items on Schedule A are the current issues that the reform is addressing or are for regional interest, matters can be added to and taken away from at any time, so through the new reform. So there's opportunity and scope for a conversation that can then be addressed at the new reform level for amendments to the agreement and obviously amendments to the work program.
Yes. All right. Now, the other thing I'd make comment I'd make before I go to Councillor Scott is that this is circulated and being approved by all the councils in Otago. So, they've all been circulated the same to you. Councillor Scott.
Look, I actually second the motion, but I actually agreed with Councillor Deakey, Kempton and Laws on this particular matter. You know, and in reply to Mr. Bodecker is saying, well, actually, you know, the proof is what's happening on the ground. Well, I would suggest, in fact, that's happening in despite of any triennial agreement, because, take, for example, civil defence. You know, civil defence looks like it's tracking upwards, whereas there were a time where it was tracking, I'm not sure where it was tracking, and, you know, so the performance, good or bad, is almost independent of our interface with the mayoral forum. And I certainly believe that we need to get some better outcomes out of this mayoral forum. We need some transparency. And I agreed with what Councillor Kempton was saying. We need to be more definitive. What appeased me to a certain degree was Councillor Law's earlier motion that at the very least now we'll be improving that transparency because we'll be getting some minutes, and I hope they will be timely and we'll resolve that. So at least we'll be able to see where it's sort of tracking. But that's still sort of reactive. I would actually like to see, you know, what is the proactive plan for 2017 for the mayoral forum? You know, or is it sort of a bit of a catch-up, and it was suggested, I think, by Councillor Kempton, more of a behavioural, you know, oiling the wheels, as opposed to them getting tracking in that particular direction. You know, this is the work, these are some of the work elements, but, like, is there a plan for 2017 with ambitious targets? Like, for example, where's the council, you know, we have our annual plan process and so forth. Does the mayoral forum do anything along those lines in terms of ambition to take, so that the collective sum of all the councils greater than their individual parts? Is there something there?
There's a work program. It's set out in Schedule A. There are time frames that the Chief Executive is working to. There's some flexibility around that. It's not a written document as in the form of an annual plan.
Yeah, but we know this is all our work program. That's like saying that the council is responsible for sweeping the streets. We know that.
No, it's much more than that. And if you read the Chief Executive's and Chair's reports and the agendas, follow the outcome from that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the group as a whole working on regional matters.
Yeah. I think what it is a little bit of, because there's been a lack of even though you're saying we're getting these reports, you know, like it's sort of like, you know, at the last meeting we talked about this and this and this. But so the question is, you know, what is the coordinated strategy sort of moving forward? So as I said again, that the sum is greater than their individual parts, you know, and there's a real challenge there. So, like, it's a hell of a blooming challenge, but that's why we have a mayoral forum, yeah?
Yeah. One of the reasons. Councillor Deakey?
Can I just go back to my starting comments about this discussion? It's clear to me that all of us around this table know that the mayoral forum is important. It is setting out to achieve important stuff, and it has achieved important stuff. But we don't have enough input into the planning process, and we don't get clear enough guidelines. No, that's not the word I'm looking for. We don't have a clear enough statement of what outcomes this group is setting out to achieve.
Very sorry.
If the mayoral forum is a mystery to us, that's a serious issue. And I believe that it is a mystery to us, and this document puts more clouds over that than it does clarity.
All right. Any other comments? Councillor Brown.
Mr. Chairman, when I read this last, I too thought it was a bit brief on detail, but
I think this is a template for the Metal Forum to operate under.
Yes.
I think if we attempt changes here today, I assume we'll have to go back to all the other councils to endorse those changes. So I think, given we're asking for improved reporting going forward, which is, I'm sure, has been taken on board, I think we should just get on and adopt this.
I'd agree.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I have a motion that's been moved and seconded along those lines, but that's happy to have the conversation. All right, no further comment. I will put the recommendation, and let me just find it for a moment. Yep. That the attached local authorities of Otago Region Triennial Agreement for 2016-2019 be adopted. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. All right. On to item 5 of our agenda, reports from councillors. Are there any? Councillor Bell.
Yes, Mr Chairman, I just want to report that, and a lot of people will probably already know, that there was a male wallaby shot in the Maniatota on the golf course. And but I just want to also say that that there was the director, Scott McLean, has pointed out to me an autopsy has been done, and was found out that the wallaby didn't have many worms, and it could be a strong possibility that it's come from a domestic type environment, or released or whatever, perhaps, and that is the opinion of a lot of the people in the Maniatoto. And it may well be one that was associated with the doe that was shot down in the Kyburn Diggins, which is not too far, well, the Kyburn Reserve, which is not too far away. So it is a concern of those people there. Phil Smith, the chairman of the Maniatoto Pest Company, just wants to acknowledge the staff from the ORC. They've been in discussion with the locals, and in fact are using his place as a base for their gear, and he's also offered their sharing quarters as accommodation for further investigations in the area. But what he also wanted to say was that he's cut off one of the foot, or got one of the foot off the wallabies, and there's big mustering going on with the autumn musters, and they're going to demonstrate that to all the musters, especially with the big buster coming up. And all the musters will be having plastic bags, so if they come across any evidence of anything, they will be picking up any signs of dung, etc., etc., to come back to ORC for analysing. So it's great. What I'm trying to say is that cooperation, good round-the-table stuff, and they're appreciating that cooperation from the ORC. Ranfurly Show Day was last Wednesday, and that was a busy day for me in the afternoon. I actually went there to enjoy the show, but ended up becoming a full-time councillor, I guess, listening to the 1D queries from the community. And I recommend to every one of them to try and get along to the drop-in session. And yesterday I went to the drop-in session for the evening, but got there at the tail end of the day and heard the roundup of the day's events. And I can assure you that the majority of the people that I spoke to on Wednesday show day turned up yesterday for the drop-in session and expressed their views, which I'm sure the staff will report soon.
Good. Thank you. Any other councillor Scott?
Yes, yesterday we had the first session with the urban water quality presentation to the TAs, and that was with the Dunedin City Council. And I'd just like to commend staff, Solvi, Dale and Adam. They did a fantastic job in my view. And there was some frank and honest discussion, and notes were taken. One of the issues that was raised, I was going to raise with Director McRae at some point, was just the issue of public consultation. I won't make a big deal of it here and now, but just the fact that when does the public have an appropriate opportunity to submit in terms of the process? So we'll have to talk that one through. And also there were various, you know, I must say, you know, it's clear at the city that there's various questions being asked in relation to costs, consent costs and so forth, and ideally we're going to provide some transparent feedback in relation to that. So that's great. Thank you.
That's good. Councillor Noon, did I see your hand up?
The council will be aware that I was nominated for the Ag Research Animal Ethics Committee through the statutory or the legislation. The actual committee confirmed that appointment, so that appointment's been confirmed. So there's a letter back from Ag Research where anyone wants to. I attended a climate safe house gathering at Waitati at the Blueskin Art Gallery, or Blueskin Gallery, Louise Burnside's establishment, on Sunday for a pretty brief time. Councillor Scott was there. Councillor Robertson may have come and went, I'm not sure. But it was quite interesting. Polytech students coming up with preliminary designs for climate safe houses. And the next stage to that is more detailed design for the sort of the winner out of the eight exhibits. And I just had another issue. I just want to raise just some direction from yourself, Mr. Chairman or the Chief. I have had several phone calls about harbour issues. One is around dredging, and one is around moorings and how they're organised, administered, etc. Who is the best person to follow up, particularly the latter question? The first one I've already run, Council spoke to a staff member about the dredging scenario. But moorings, who do I talk to or do I go through the Chief?
Mr. Bodie.
Well, the moorings are a consented matter, so if it's about a specific mooring through the consents team, through Peter Christopher's or Chris Shaw, but you can come through me, Councillor, if you wish. I mean, the dredging one is something that we've discussed on a number of occasions at annual plan time. We issue consents should they be requested around dredging, and the port is a good example of where they, for commercial reasons, wish to dredge their exit entry to the harbour, and they do so. The LTPs and the other discussions of this council in the past about whether we have a role to dredge for recreational purposes has in each case come up that it's not our responsibility in recent times, but that's a matter that this council may reconsider it at certain times and do so.
All right, no further councillor report backs. Councillor Hope.
Just to reiterate what Councillor Bell said, thank you through the chair. I attended the Renfrewley 1D plan change yesterday. It's probably why I'm not really talking very much this morning, because I was absolutely inundated with people. I would probably have 30, 35 people in 3 hours. Very, very unhappy farmers, I have to say. A lot of people just wanted to come and talk to me as a councillor about why they were so unhappy. The confusion, if you like, and as Councillor Bell said, they're just kind of happy with what they're doing, and then there's this new change coming in, and it's like, whoa, you know, we're just trying to do this. We want to make sure what we've got is great, and then you're coming along and saying, hang on, but am I still going to get my water through? There was so much yesterday. There were people at us, all angles. There was different little groups going on, having meetings, having discussions. I think the hardest thing too is for us as councillors is, of course, there's meetings on again tonight, and there's a meeting on again tomorrow night, and you're not able to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that if we can help it, this doesn't happen again, for one. And also there needs to be, if you're going to do these sorts of drop-in workshops, that there are more senior staff there. That is very, very important, especially because they just were inundated. And there was different things, I'll be honest. Some people liked the workshop where they could drop in, because some farmers felt that they wanted their own little voice heard. They didn't want to be with the big collection. Others who were in a big collection said, look, no, we don't like this. We just want you to tell us where it is, what's happening, and what's going to be the outcome. That was the big thing yesterday. So, fairly big day. Yeah.
And that'll come back to as agreed at committee, come back to workshop following the conclusion of the drop-in sessions this week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Hope. Councillor Laws?
I'd just like to report very quickly. Can I concur with what Calum just said about having the council meeting at the same time the community things? I've got one in Cromwell tonight, for example, which I would love to have gone to and love to be there today. And there's another one in my constituency tomorrow as well. So it's just an oversight, so if they could, if so that the planner could achieve that in the future. I've had a large number of constituents ring me or deal with me over three issues very quickly relating to Allegra Siphon and its effect upon recreational swimmers in Lake Dunstan. It's starting to militate against the recreational experience there. So whatever we're doing there at the moment, or whatever's happening with Allegra Siphon, isn't having the effect of solving that problem. Interestingly, I've had a large number of constituents meet with me, or I've met with them personally and gone out and seen the sites. We'd be talking about seven or eight now, over the effect of Freedom Campers upon the environment in the Dunstan region, and particularly in the Lakes region. And whether or not the Otago Regional Council should have a role, their view is that they should, and that they don't believe that territorial authorities are dealing with this issue satisfactorily at the moment. They are concerned in particular upon the degradation upon local beauty spots from Freedom Campers. I want to flag that issue. I think that's something we need to address as a regional council. I'm also addressing currently, and I'm sure you've all done it before, but a number of Rotary clubs in progress, so I'm in a sort of a circuit through progress at the moment, and that gives us quite a deal of feedback. The feedback I've mostly got from groups in particular in sessions is confusion around particularly the water plans and things like that, and maybe we need to, I just want to flag it again, need to restart or reconvene the original concepts of what we're doing and why, just for the point and purpose of bringing the community on side during this very difficult change process. Oh, we're also going to, Maggie and I were, Maggie's not anymore, but we'll report back to you. There's a Royal Society meeting in Wanaka on Friday night to do with the lake issue. I circulated an email to you last week to do with the professorship. The chap who's addressing this Royal Society meeting at Wanaka is the professor, Professor Hamilton from Hamilton, from Waikato University. And
he's from Dunedin.
Yes, that's right, he originally came out of here. Yeah, now at Waikato. He is the first chair of Lake Restoration, a regional council initiative that they've got there, as you would have seen in my email to you. And he's speaking on Friday night. And he has a large number of the Otago University people going up with him as well to deal with that issue of Southern Lakes and health. So I'll report that back at the next meeting, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thank you. The Freedom Campers one is the responsibility, my understanding, of the district councils.
True.
They are dealing with it, and it is a matter that has been discussed at the Mural Forum. And but they are individually dealing with the freedom camping and the land use issues and the other potential issues that occur around freedom camping.
I accept that the tenor of the constituents was that they'd like the council to get involved because they don't believe that the district councils are doing quite what they would like them to do.
So that's not necessarily a basis for the regional council getting involved.
Well,
it's not the role of our council to pick up shortcomings or not.
If
it affects our environment, it does, Councillor Scott. If it affects the environment in which we are responsible for, then I would argue that it is up for us to pick it up and deal with it.
But
where will we have that discussion?
Well, can I suggest you pass the concerns you've had expressed on to the Chief Executive and have a conversation with him, and he might be able to follow them up with the TLAs, but you two have a conversation on that specific one for a
start. Could I take that a step forward, Mr. Chairman? It seems to me we have, through our STEDS program, been intrusive on what would be a district council's responsibility, and that was the stock truck effluent problem that was across our region. district councils were either unable or unwilling to deal with that, so we went into an arrangement whereby we built them and the district councils maintained them. It seems to me that council laws is onto something here, that we could possibly make a similar program available through the mayoral forum to our territorial partners, and we could say we will establish ad hoc points of freedom camping facilities whereby those people can perform healthy sanitation activities, if you like, and make sure that they don't just despoil the beauty spots where they want to stop. We know that a very large number of the freedom campers are in vehicles which don't have air facilities at all. So these people are contaminating our beautiful region. Let's accept that as a fact, and let's propose to our district council partners a program of freedom camper sanitation stations or something similar.
All right, I think we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves here, because there has been a lot of work by the district and city councils dealing with this issue and ensuring facilities and appropriate sites are identified, etc., etc., and monitoring the impacts of this. And my understanding is that there's been quite an improvement this year on previous years. Not to say there is not an issue with, you know, quite a number of freedom campers from time to time. Perhaps we should ask the chief executive to report to us actually what is the policies of the various districts and city, and where they see some issues and how they are addressing it, and to help us understand the current situation. And I know even for some districts there's been discussion at a regional level around a consistent approach across the region, but even that's difficult because some districts welcome them and have facilities and sites available, and others are having issues managing the quantum. So this has been a discussion on the local government agenda for probably 2 or 3 years, and there's been various actions taken over that time. So,
let's do that. I'll come back with a report on if you, through you, Mr. Chairman, on the current status, and then that will lead on to a discussion about what, if anything, we might want to do.
Yes.
It'll fit nicely in the annual plan.
Yep, that's right. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Dr. Palmer, did you have your finger in there at one point?
No.
A point I was going to make in reference to Councillor Law's report, the meeting this Friday, we are a staff member is representing and going to be speaking there.
Yes, Dr. Olson is attending.
Correct. Right. Thank you. All right. No further council report backs. Councillor Robertson.
No further report back, but just a query about the format of council report backs, and just playing being a pain in the neck probably, but. In the past, we needed to put matters formally on the agenda and have papers to speak to.
Yes.
And I'm not advocating that that's entirely the way it needs to go. We had a meeting yesterday at the DCC, and that's a formal council meeting that we were reporting back on.
Yep.
That's appropriate. Didn't have time to write a paper. But we're going to spend a lot of time, the Australianium, if we all get to bring up whatever thing we've got on our brains at the moment.
Yeah.
At a formal council meeting. And we do need a chance, an appropriate setting to do that, but I'm suggesting this might not be it.
Thank you. So I was just going to remind you, Lauren had previously asked for any council report backs. Flick them in by email, please.
Yeah.
And preferable if they're on the agenda.
It's fairer to staff and others to know what to expect on
yes.
the day as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So apart from the DCC example yesterday was fine, but if you've been to something and jot some notes down and flick it, you can do that, send it to Lauren at any time leading up to the week before the next council meeting.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, it was a bit hard with last night.
That's the other example too. I understand that, Council Bell, but there are others that have occurred during the 6 weeks. So, yeah. Councillor Scott, did you have a further report?
No, that's fine.
Right.
Can I just say I don't necessarily agree with Councillor Robertson on this. I found that last 10 minutes really interesting, really valuable. And we have almost no opportunity in any city to have those kinds of discussions. And if we had to produce a written paper and have it into the minutes secretary and so many days in advance, we would lose the value of what we've just seen in the last 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And I don't recall any previous requirement that council report backs are in written form and are sent in so many days in advance. They have always been, in my memory, verbal report backs. Occasionally, Councillor Kempton, I know, has put forward a paper to do with regional transport stuff, and that's been detailed and interesting. But otherwise, they have usually been of that format we've just experienced, and I would want to see that carry on.
I'm not limiting it to written, but I'm just saying there used to be update TB reports from various councillors over the triennium that were usually written, but it's some detail. It's much easier on staff, and it gives us an opportunity to read it beforehand if there's an opportunity for that. All right. We'll rattle through the next stage of our agenda and then adjourn for morning tea. So I'm going to move on to the recommendations from the minutes, part C of our agenda. Item 6, firstly, the recommendations of the Communications Committee.
I'll move that, Mr. Chairman.
Move Councillor Deaker as a seconder. Seconder Councillor Hoke. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Item 7, recommendations of the Regulatory Committee.
Moved.
Councillor Scott. Seconded Councillor Bell. All in favour, please say aye.
Against. Can I raise an issue to do with that? Is there any update on the K5 funding proposal since 2 weeks ago?
The
release of the virus. Yes, has there been any progress in the 2 weeks since this committee meeting?
Yes.
Okay. So that's why I'm asking Mr. Chairman for an update.
And we can update that in workshops?
No, I want it updated. No. Okay. No. The update should happen in public meeting, and it should happen now, formally, and be recorded. If it's in workshop, it's then... Yeah.
Yep, that's fine. Okay. Go for it.
For the Chair, yes, and 2 days ago, the EPA declared that K5 is neither a hazardous substance nor is it a new organism. So it sits outside the hazmat act. So that clears, that's probably the biggest clue. The next part of the process is now for the agricultural compounds and veterinarian medicines to sign it off. So that application is now sitting with them. Because the EPA decided that it wasn't, it sat outside of the hazmat act, they didn't undertake any toxicology or residue testing. So that's something that the ACD process may do. So nominally that's a 60 to 90 day process with ACD. But as a sector, we are contacting ACBM and expressing our concern over the risk of a lengthy process in terms of potential illegal importation of the virus.
The virus is being released next month in Australia. So the potential exists for any New Zealander, a la last time, to get access to that virus and to import it illegally, as you say. Now, you've gone back to the government and said, well, in this particular case, the licensing authority, and you've said that's your concern too, is it?
Yes, that's being done currently on behalf of the Rapid Coordination Group.
But you're still not getting any progress, otherwise you wouldn't have raised the issue.
well, it hasn't actually gone to the ACBM, but it couldn't go prior to the EPA making their determination, so that happened 2 days ago. So the next part of that process has kicked off. So we did express that same concern to the EPA, but they've now decided that it sits outside the FDA Act. So, yeah, it's on to the next stage process. So, I mean, it's really good news from the process point of view.
Yeah.
We just need to press on with this.
And further to that, so the chief executives and the chairs of the three mostly affected, more involved regional councils discussed this matter at the end of last week, and the chief executives are following it up on a daily basis, and there might need to be some... we need to understand where they are at for a start-off, and then we're going to... potentially a political intervention.
Well, you may need to seek political intervention then.
Well, seek ministerial support ensuring time frames are as quick as possible to allow, in the best case scenario, the release of this virus, this one, and the risk you've identified is one, but there are a number. I mean, essentially, we'll be waiting another 12 months. And so we've lost the year, which doesn't seem that sensible either. So we're pleased with the eventual decision on Monday, but we want the next part of the process to be move as quickly as possible.
Mr. Chairman, interesting though this, and important though this conversation's been, in terms of process, we're only noting these minutes or confirming these minutes, and the correct procedure is that it's a matter arising for minutes at the next committee round.
Anyway, that's why I suggested it be a briefing at a workshop. But it raises a matter arising and we've dealt with it, so we're moving on. All right, so I didn't
Mr. Chair. We're not actually discussing the minutes. We're discussing the recommendations of the minutes.
Correct.
And in doing so, we're able to revisit in terms of our council responsibilities, pertinent issues, yeah?
And no, you either accept the recommendations or you don't.
Yeah, well, we're speaking to that. Are you saying that we can't speak to that?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the matter for discussion is whether we receive the recommendations of the regulatory committee or not.
Yes, we have the ability to speak in terms of prior to determining that conclusion of movement.
Well, based on the recommendations from the technical committee, Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, right. So there was a motion that's been moved and seconded, but it hasn't been put for item 7 that we received the recommendation of the regulatory committee. I'm going to put it now. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Recommendation to technical committee. I'm happy to move that they are adopted. Seconded, Councillor Hope. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Recommendation to policy committee.
Mr. Chairman, can I just speak to that, please? Just as an I just wonder, Mr. Chairman, there was a lot of debate. I indicated that I had received emails and a number of phone calls on issues, and I drew some of that into the debate, and it hasn't been recorded. And also noted that Councillor Hope and Councillor Noon had done the same thing. And you have in there references Mr. McRae all the way through there, but there's nothing there to say that we have done anything. And why I'm drawing that attention to you, I had a text today from somebody who noted the minutes, and I'd been saying what I said, and they said, well, it's not in the minutes and we're watching, and I showed that text to a couple of my colleagues. So
yep.
I'm wondering where we are with minutes with regards to this, because I would have to say that we probably took up half an hour extra in that debate over those concerns that we raised.
Right.
And it's not addressed.
We'll follow that up. We're not actually approving the minutes. That turns up at the next committee, but we'll have a look at that prior to the... This is just picking up the recommendations from that committee. Yeah. All right. Are you happy to second the recommendations?
Yeah, on the basis that we look at look at the changes of recording.
As I say, that's the detail of the minutes themselves, which will be addressed for sure and accuracy at the meeting, the next committee meeting.
Yep, true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll get on that basis.
Moves Councillor Robertson, second Councillor Bell. I'll put it all in favour, please say aye.
No.
Q, Finance and Corp.
So moved.
Councillor Brown, second Councillor Noon. All in favour, please say aye.
No.
Three. Recommendations of the Combined Regional Transport Committee for Southland and Otago. Councillor Kempton.
Yeah, I'll move those in a minute, so maybe I should just talk them very briefly. Fairly ancient history now, from the beginning of December. You'll see that was the meeting at which we extended our work on the 18-21 plan, and it was the meeting at which we decided actually to take a step back and do some workshopping. And that was very successful. In fact, we've since had another meeting last Friday where we now find ourselves with respect to the planning process in a pretty good place. You'll see there was the resolution to write to the regional council and say, look, can we get that Stanton building up central going a bit quicker? That's been responded to. And also the one about the issue around the funding of Stanton, which of course has become an annual plan topic. One other point there was the RTC supported Waitaki District and wrote to Transit New Zealand to tell them to sort the intersection at Moraki. Interesting, so quite a number of things have happened very quickly there, and some other things still will happen after some public consultation in April. But one of the interesting things that people probably don't appreciate is that is one of the busiest state highway intersections in the South Island in terms of turning movements. So this is not necessarily about a tourist issue, it's about the fact that it is a really busy intersection on Blind Hill. And so the long-term solutions there could be quite significant. But in any event, I'll move that council accept those recommendations.
Thank you. Second Councillor Bale, all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. All right, we'll adjourn the meeting at 11:11 and for a cup of tea, morning tea, and we'll come back to items 12 and 13 and also address the item that is sitting on the table, hopefully Mr. Donnelly at that point. Can we aim at being back here 25 past, grab a cuppa and a biscuit? We need to keep moving.
Yeah.
All right, so my intention now is to go back and seek advice from staff on item 3, the Code of Conduct, which is sitting on our table, and at the conclusion of that item, we will then move on to items 11 and 12, is it? 13, and move into committee at that point. So, Mr. Donnelly, you've done some research on the questions that were there for item 3. Can you please let us know? And again, to refresh councillors, we have had a recommendation that has been debated, it has been put, and it has been voted on, and it was the voting result was 8-3, which is under the 75%. And there were some questions around that, and Mr. Donnelly is going to respond. Mr. Donnelly.
So the question was whether or not it did require the 75%, and I believe Councillor Laws has handed me a piece of paper, so he obviously went and did the same research. But Schedule 7 of the Local Government Act, Section 15.6, is quite clear that it does require not less than 75%. Approval for any amendment to the Code of Conduct. So under that, where we didn't get to the 75%, then that motion was lost, and that would mean at the moment the old Code of Conduct stays in place.
Councillor Scott.
Thank you. I'm quite happy to move the original motion as per the report that was there, based on that particular wording.
That the attached Regional Council Code of Conduct be adopted and the Common Seal affixed. That is the recommendation on page 26 of our agenda. So that is referring to the code of conduct as circulated in your agenda.
Exactly right. I'm prepared to move that.
Thank you. Is there a seconder? Councillor Scott. Do you, Councillor Neil, my apologies.
No, Neil.
Neil. Chuck. But he was the first hand up. There was three of them. Open the motion for discussion. Councillor Scott, do you wish to...
Not really. I think it's all been said before. I think that's good.
Please hear you say that. Is there any other comment? Been moved and seconded. No discussion. I will put it. All in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? Carried. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Donnelly. All right, we now need to move on to items 12 and 13. My apologies, I think I said 11 and 12 before, which is part D of our agenda. And the items recommendation is that we move into in committee to deal with these two items. The basis for that is explained in your agenda. I'm happy to move that we do move into committee. Seconded, Councillor Robertson. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
Carried. There are no further matters under on our agenda and currently, so I'll move that we go out of in committee. Is there a seconder, Councillor Scott? I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. It's 10 past 12. I declare the council meeting closed.